having the real experience is beyond being called a Christian. You must understand how to function there. Christ is a place. So God wants a church that is in charge of the earth before he returns. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. He says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. The day you got born again, you changed nationality. Yet you were sent as an apostle. You were sent as an occupational tribe to bring the government of that heavenly kingdom to bear on the earth.
Are you enjoying church already? How many of you felt relieved? You poured out your heart. Let me see your hand. You prayed, you poured out your heart to the Lord. And God heard you. Amen. Remember to share the testimony. Because of the graduation, we could not take the testimonies today. So if you have testimonies, kindly see anyone in the office so that they give you a card to fill for next week's second service. Okay, so we'll see how we can take some stuff with the communion service. I think next Sunday is also communion service. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. We've been talking on the principles and the blessings of spiritual growth. Amen. And it's been a great series. How many of you are growing? Amen. How many of you are challenging yourself? Listen, every time you hear the word of God, the key to producing results with the word is to hear instructions to do. Hallelujah. Gloria Copeland said something many years ago that blessed me. That while many were hanging around, was it Robert or Kenneth Hagin, I believe? Okay. I said, those who made use, proper use, and maximized the anointing of Kenneth Hagin were those, I'm just paraphrasing, I'll say it the way she said it, were those who were listening for instructions to obey. He said, while many were listening to the revelations and the new things he was saying, she said, some of us were listening for instructions to act on. Brothers and sisters, you remember what Proverbs said? He said, take fast hold of instruction, for it is your life. Hallelujah. Meaning, every time you sit under the ministry of the word, decisions. Okay, from today, this is what I'll be doing. From this week, this is what I'll be doing. From this month, this is what I'll be doing. From this year, this is what I'll be doing. Decision. Let the ministry of the word bring you to a place of decision. So, we've been talking on spiritual growth, developing spiritually, growing up spiritually, the principles and the blessings. Let it bring you to a place of decision. We began to talk in the first service about the ministry of the word. From Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And we began to talk about how that continuing steadfastly is the foundation for healthy spiritual growth. Amen. Continuing steadfastly. That means you don't hit and run. And I asked a question. Imagine you are 25 years old now and you stopped eating when you were 4. You wouldn't have grown. Hallelujah. Why? The proteins required, okay, the energy required to keep you growing, you are not going to get it. So it's similar with spiritual growth. Our journey doesn't end until we see Jesus. Hallelujah. That's on this side of eternity. Even after seeing him, we'll continue growing and developing. Hallelujah. In fact, I told you some weeks ago that the level of glory you can stand in heaven is connected to how developed your spirit man is on the earth. Are you aware of that? Hope you know that developing your inner man will continue in heaven. I don't have time to teach you and show you scriptures today. I'll find time. No, you see, we will not all be the same in heaven. We will not all be the same. There's a statement I really don't like. We are all the same. I never liked it. If you are saying we are the same, okay, in the eye before God, okay, generically and legally, yes, it's true. But saying treat everybody, I think that's the one I don't like. I say, see, let's treat everybody the same. You are lying. It's impossible. You don't treat everybody the same, and God doesn't tell us to treat everybody the same. What he told us is to love everybody. But you cannot treat everybody the same. You treat people based on different factors. Try and treat your neighbor's husbands the way you treat your husband. I see somebody pour you hot water. prepare breakfast in the morning and take, I'm treating all the husbands in this estate the same. Are you joking? You don't treat everybody the same. There are factors that govern how you relate to people. Am I talking? You know, we make general statements that are not true. We just get cliches from places and we don't even examine them. You do not treat everybody the same. Even Jesus did not treat everybody the same. Go and read it very well. There was a man, was it the centurion who built them a synagogue? Was it the centurion? All right. They said, Jesus, there's a man who wants to see you. Jesus was busy. They said, sir, he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. He said, let's go to his house. Go and read it. It's in the Bible. He said, let's go to his house. Were there not many people at Gibeon that night? How come God appeared only to Solomon? Sacrifice. He offered 1,000 burnt offering. That means our sacrifices, our understanding of the kingdom of God stratifies us. Are you listening? It stratifies us. This is why you must be passionate and convinced and aggressive and radical about the growth of your spirit. About your growth as a Christian. You must grow spiritually. Don't just grow in mental knowledge. Grow spiritually. Your spirit man must be robust. I told you, the more you grow, the less you limit God. The less you grow, the more you limit God. Many things we have as limitations today is just a manifestation or an expression of our growth level. When you grow some more, you notice that there are no more limitations. Is somebody listening to me? So certain things are growth limitations. They are not limitations from God. They are not God's unwillingness. It's just growth limitations. You grow and develop, those things become, there are no more limitations. Hallelujah. Praise God. So very, very, very important. And we also said that your loyalty to Jesus, that was in first service, I should mention it. Your loyalty to Jesus must be constant, consistent. Why? That's the only thing that matters in the kingdom of God, Christ, right? Amen. And that's where rest, true rest is. That's where true peace is. If you are trying to get peace, they say sit down and meditate and empty your heart. Empty your mind and meditate. You are doing yoga, you cannot have peace. When you are done, the trouble will be waiting for you. Amen. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you shall find rest for your soul, right? He said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Very important. So Jesus must be important to you daily. His words must be important to you daily, constantly. Jesus must be relevant. And I say he's relevant. He's actually relevant in today's world. There are people, when you mention Jesus, say, that's old school. He's not relevant. That's a lie. That's a lie. They are pretending. The troubles in this world, only an encounter with Jesus can exempt you. Is somebody listening to me? So Jesus is relevant to you. Don't allow his relevance to be only when you are faced with difficult situations. There are Christians that use God. Amen. And the next time they will need Jesus, the next time they will experience his relevance is when they are faced with the next challenge. And I say, don't be like that. Every day, constantly have time to learn of him, to learn at his feet. Amen. Technology has made it so easy for us. While awake or asleep, you can let his words play. You can let Bible, there are audio Bibles, you can let it play. You can let messages play. Hallelujah. And then there are times when you have actively sit down and look into his word and hear his word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, we journey to talk about how the word builds us. Okay, we said the first thing is to plant the word in the soil of your heart. That's why we stopped in the first service. All right, planting the word in the soil of your heart. Mark chapter 4, we began from there. I choose somebody to open, amplify, and keep, right? 24. I'm still going to read it. So if you have amplify and you are close to the front, just open it and give me. Hallelujah. Either on your phone or hard copy. All right. He said, the kingdom of God is likened unto a man who cast seed in the ground. He went to sleep, sleeping and waking, not paying attention consciously. I'm paraphrasing now. And he says, the ground of a cell produced fruits of itself. Amen. He said, he rise and sleep, and he knoweth not how. That's what he says. He knoweth not how. go down now to 27. You should know where I'm reading. You know I don't know how. Glory to God. I'm saying your heart is programmed to cause the seed of the world to grow within. Glory to God. I said glory to God. And we go to Proverbs chapter 4, I believe. I believe that was where we stopped. Okay. Proverbs 4 was where we stopped. Amen. All right, so let's look at the second way the Word of God causes us to grow. By beholding in a mirror. Oh, by beholding in a mirror. Is somebody following me? By beholding in a mirror. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Put it up for me. Look up at me, everyone, as the scripture goes up. Listen, we become what we behold. Your thinking, your perception about the Word of God is important. The Bible is not a religious book. The Bible is not a storybook. The Bible is a revelation of the past, the present, and the future. Meaning, even when you read stories from the Bible, it's a revelation of the past. It's not an empty story. Your perspective or your perception of the word is important. When you hear us talk about the word, giving attention to the word, what do you think we're talking? Really, the word of God, the word of God is a person. The Bible calls Jesus the living word. Meaning the written word is a description and a road to encounter the living word. The written word takes you by the hand to meet the living word. Are you listening to me? So the word is a person. You remember St. John's Gospel chapter 1 began to say, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God. And the word was God. He says the same was in the beginning. All things were made by him. He gives personality to the word. By him, he gives personality to the word. So it's not just what is written. What is written is to give you an encounter with who is living. Do you understand? This is why the writer of Hebrews says the word of God is living and active. Moffat translation says the logos of God is a living thing. He says the word of God is a living thing. The word of God is living. We can relate with him. Hallelujah. He says all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He said in him was light. In him was life, rather, Zoe. And the life was the light, was the civilization of men. Hallelujah. Describing the word. So the word is not some boring things written. The word, this one, even notice when we confess and we hold the Bible, you notice I say, I believe that the Bible contains the word of God. The revelation of the past, the present, and the future. I mean, when you look into the Bible and watch the news, they are saying what is in, and they are telling you what the Bible has already talked about. Is somebody with me? You look into the Bible and you see around, you see that the Bible is living. Hallelujah. Living, very alive. Very, very alive. So Paul began to describe in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. He started by talking about the ministry that we have received. He talks about those who have received the ministry of letters and those who have received the ministry of the Spirit. He talked about not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who has made us able ministers, not of the letters, right? But of the Spirit. He said, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. Now, he began his argument. He was talking about comparing the law and grace. Comparing the dispensation of the law and what Jesus brought. The Bible said the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus. So, you know, you can stay from afar and give something. But he said grace came by Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 1. The law was given by Moses, ordained by the hands of angels. God did not write the law. You know, I like to remind the people, God did not write it. The Bible says it was by the hands of an angel. Glory to God. But Jesus came and, hey, should I go here? Listen to me. When God was dealing with the church, hope you know that Abraham was not under the law. When we talk about the law, it starts from Exodus 19. Amen. About Exodus 19 also. That was when the things changed. God was dealing favorably with them. Until they say, everything God says we'll do, we can do it. God say, eh? The rules have changed. And he gave them those laws. And in fact, when Moses came down from that mountain, people died. Oh. People died. When he came, people ran away. There was so much tempest. You know, when the writer of Hebrew was comparing the two mountains, he said there was so much darkness and tempest that even Moses, that was skyping with God, was arranging himself. He was afraid. That was the coming in of the law. And the purpose of the law was to show man his emptiness. Was to show man his inadequacies. So, the Bible says the law was a schoolmaster until Christ. And if you know anything about the schoolmaster is not the teacher. The schoolmaster is the one that carries the hand of a student and hands him over to the teacher. Are you listening? So in Galatians 3, it talks about the law being a schoolmaster until Christ should come. Oh, glory to God. I'm going somewhere. So Paul began to talk about this from that chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians. He says the ministry of condemnation had glory. But when we talk about the glory of the New Testament, the glory of the word revealed, that's what they say. He says that glory that Moses had is not glory at all. He calls the glory of the New Testament, the glory of the world, the glory that excelleth. And that's what he calls it. He said the glory that excels. The glory that excels. And then he began to talk about how that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold Moses when he came down. Moses was a type of the law. Amen. That's why in the Bible you notice that they exchange Moses and the law. What did Moses say? That's the same thing as what did the law say? Hallelujah. So they could not behold Moses. And he said something very important. That Moses came and had to cover his eyes. And in case you don't know, it's because the glory was diminishing. And he wanted to keep it. Wanted to keep his social GP. Amen. His face was shining, but he was reducing. So they had to cover it. And glory to God. Now, he said something. That's by the way. He said something. He said, every time Moses is read, the veil still covers them. He said, but when he shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be removed. I'm going somewhere. When he shall turn to the Lord, he's talking about the living word. The veil shall be removed. Go put from verse 15. But even the day when Moses is read, the veil is upon the heart. Every time the law is read, there's no glory revealed. That's what he's saying. You don't see anything. There's veil. There's veil. Remember in the first service, I was telling you about how that the Bible qualified the kind of word that helps you grow. He calls it the apostles' doctrine. I would say that's the word that comes with an apostolic spirit. And it doesn't mean the person saying is an apostle by office. Okay, but generically, you understand? Okay, he's saying apostolos means sent. That means a word that is sent from God, consistent with what God is saying. Consistent with the core of scriptures, which is Christ. Hallelujah. Are you following that? So that's why he says, every time the law is read, there's a veil in the eyes of the people. Until this day, verse 16. Nevertheless, when he shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Next verse. Now the Lord is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We'll come there. Verse 8, verse 18. Very quickly. He's showing us how to be transformed. He's showing us how the word impacts us in a remarkable way. That's what he's showing us. He's showing us, hey, listen, the word is spiritual. Remember, the word of God is spiritual. Jesus said, the word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So the word of God is spiritual. The word of God is not idle talk. He said they are spirit and they are life, meaning they have the power to transmit life. Fire. When the word of God comes to any dead situation, there is life. Didn't you read it? He said it shall come to pass that anything that is dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God and shall live. So if it's the word of God you are receiving, it must minister life to the core of your being. And it's spiritual. He's showing us how the spiritual can interface with the physical and produce results. Listen, if you notice, mirror is beyond what you just used to see your face. How many of you have watched vampire movies? Okay? Or occultic movies when they use mirror to summon people and to bring people into realms, to transport them into different realms. Who has ever seen that before? You know what it's telling you? That a mirror is an interface between the spirit realm and the physical realm. So when he mentions mirror here, he's talking about an interface. Listen, there are things you are in the spirit that you are not seeing yet in the physical. We call them potential. We call them inheritance in Christ. He's saying through this mirror principle, through this interface of the spirit, you can bring those things to reality. Your life can be a living manifestation of what Jesus died for. A living manifestation of the kingdom of power and glory. That's what he said. Are you following me? So verse 18 says, but we all, with open face, because we are in Christ, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. I'm showing you how the world transforms us. How the world brings growth. Beholding us in the mirror, the glory of the Lord. We are changed into the same image. That means you are seeing something in the mirror. That means the mirror is talking about here is the word of God. Question. When you stood in the mirror this morning, it was my face you saw. Every time you look into the mirror, you see something. What he's saying is, listen, the word of God is the mirror of God. Every time you look into it, you see who you really are. He's saying the mirror of God is the perfect description of you. What did James say? He said, a man who doesn't do the word is like a man, a believer who doesn't do the word, he's like a man beholding his natural face in the mirror, and he lives there and forget who he is. Is someone following me? So the word of God is the mirror of God. It describes what manner of man you are. But this thing is beyond natural. It's spiritual. He says, when you behold that image, who are you? What is the image you are beholding? The living word, the person. Remember, we said it is the one to whom we are conformed. Remember, when we talk about defining spiritual growth, we say it's conformity in power, in love, in sound mind to the Son of God, which is God's prototype man. So every time you look at the word of God, you see Jesus revealed. But it doesn't stop there. He says, you see yourself. And he says, the key is to behold. To behold means to steadfastly gaze. To continuously pay attention to. Oh, John said, that which you have heard. That which you have seen. That which you have looked upon. Which our hands have handled of the word of life. You remember 1 John chapter 1 verse 1. Is that not what you have heard? Which we have seen. Which we have looked upon. It means to gaze with admiration. You are hearing God's word and your heart is sweating you. You are reading the Bible and you get to a point where it's sweet. You are looking. You can't take your eyes off it. We call it meditation. We call it to ponder, to mutter, to roar. Meditation, beginning from hearing. That's what it means to behold. He's saying this is how we are changed into the same image. This is how we are conformed to the image of his Son. We saw in the first service that in storm, Jesus was sleeping. You are disquieted in storm. How do you conform? By beholding. He says as you keep beholding, a day is going to come where you will have the same disposition to storms like Jesus. Where in the middle of storm, you'll be sleeping at the rear. Oh, glory to God. The days will come when you are faced with 5,000 men to feed, you'll not be looking for money to buy what to use like Philip did. You will think like Jesus. He said, give them something to eat. The Bible said, for he himself knew exactly what he would do. Oh, hallelujah. You will look at need. You will not think humanly about it. Jesus, Philip was talking about denarii. How much denarii will buy food for these people? Jesus wasn't concerned. That's what it means to be conformed to the image of his son. He needed to pay tax. He didn't say, hey, Peter, what is in the treasury? There's no money. Okay, what shall we do? No. He said, goat, oh my goodness. Is somebody scared about the things I'm talking about? Or you want to be a logbodocious Christian? You know what that means? You are unmoved by spiritual things. You are not interested in spiritual things. You are not interested in growing. Where you were yesterday is where you are today. And you are not interested in doing anything about it. That's dangerous. Listen, if you are not like that and you are interested in making progress, there's an excitement the word of God should give you. If you don't have it yet, create it. When the word of God comes to you, there should be an excitement in your heart. How is that excitement going to come? A hunger, a desire. You may be a bad girl, a bad boy. It makes no difference. Start from somewhere. Start from somewhere. Listen, you need God. Hey, you need God, though. You know, some of you are wearing jeans and wearing designers because people are sending you money. You need God, though. You know, when you talk to young people sometimes, they are looking high at you. You know, they have not faced life yet. They have not faced life yet. Every month, somebody sends money. I say, hey, is your money? They lie. And there's a time where you will lie and money will not come. Because there's nobody to lie to. You need God. You need God. You start from somewhere. I know I'm talking to someone right now. That's the Spirit of God addressing someone right now. Glory to God. You need God. You need God. Beholding us in the mirror, the glory of God. Intently. You are meditating. You are keeping your mind on the word, on what he has said, and on who he is. Keep your mind on it. Keep your mind. Keep your mind. Gauge what occupies your mind through the day. Is it what somebody said? What you watch in the movie or what God has said? And how to do that is very simple. Put the word of God around you. Put it before your eyes. Remember what the psalmist said. He said, I have set the Lord always before me. Set the Lord always before you. Put him at your right hand. Meaning, right hand means exalted position. The highest position. He said, Lord, you occupy the highest position in my life. What for? He said, therefore, I shall not be moved. I shall not be shaken. I shall not be moved. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. Who is at your right hand is very important. If you set the Lord always before you and keep him at your right hand, it's not important what rocks your boots. You'll be sleeping at the rear. Because you know the outcome. You know the outcome. Glory to God. When you begin to engage the world system to do big things, you know the outcome. You know who is behind you. You know what is speaking for you. Gaze. Gaze at him. Let him occupy your mind. Have you ever stayed on the word for a while? And I say it's not hard. Play the message and replay it again. Glory to God. Listen, God's instructions are not difficult. Are not difficult. I'm telling you, you may feel very carnal. Just sit down, play a message, drop a Bible, pray in tongues under your breath. Let your mind be going haywire. Stay there. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray. When the message finishes, play another one. Rewind it. Sit down there. I assure you, before 2 hours is over, you will hear from God. Your vision will be clear. Am I talking this morning? It's actually not difficult. It's not difficult. At all, it's not. He's a pastor. Every time I read the Bible, I sleep. It's good. It's the glory that is dosing you to sleep. So when you sleep, wake up and continue. Glory to God. I said in the first service, read your Bibles. Hey, Pastor, I don't understand what I'm reading. Keep reading it. I say, Lord, give me understanding. One day, listen, in fact, we pray in tongues in this church. You cannot pray in tongues and read your Bible and understand. At the beginning, it may look vague, but keep at it. Keep at it. And say, Lord, I receive understanding. I speak in tongues. Create time for him. Create time. Listen, Jesus must be a priority. If you are going to fulfill your God-given destiny, Jesus cannot be an option. He must be a priority. Must. Mark my words, must. The phases of your life should not define his relevance. He must be relevant every day. Hallelujah. He must be a daily priority. Constant priority. Beholding. Beholding. You contemplate until you are changed into the same image. He said you become what you are seeing. Remember, goats and cattle in the days of Jacob beheld something and began to reproduce it. He's a law in the realm of the spirit. You behold and become. You behold and become. Keep your mind on it. Surround yourself with the material. Keep your thoughts on it. See him. Think about Jesus. Think about his word. Sometimes there are verses of scripture you should stay. Any part of the Bible that blesses you, stay there. Think about it again and again and again until other ones open up to you. Do you understand? And still, that's beholding. Contemplate. Behold him. Behold him. There are times I read the Bible and I cry. Why? Beholding. I cry tears from my eyes. Tears from my eyes. Like that scripture I quoted to you. 1 John 1:1-2, 1-3. And there's no time I read it and I don't feel the anointing of God's Spirit. Is that which we have heard, which you have seen, which you have looked upon, which our hands have handled. It says of the word of life. Verse 2 says, for the life was manifested and we have seen it. For the life was manifested and we have seen it. That eternal life which was with the Father. You know, John was a man of meditation. And in case you don't, let me give you a historical background to John. John was the one who called himself the disciple whom Jesus loves. He talked about love so much. He talked about the Christ life. He was the one who talked about Zoe, eternal life. He talked about contemplating to behold Christ with admiration. He so beheld him until that life entered into him. Church history tells us that John, in the days of persecution of the church, was dropped in a drum of boiling oil. And he did not die. Listen, he boiled and boiled. The oil evaporated and he was still alive. Until they banished him to the island of Patmos, where he got revelation. In fact, there are people that believe that he's still alive and somewhere on the earth. I may be changing form. Glory to God. Contemplation. Listen, immortality is true, but it's not just by wishing it. You have to feed of the tree of life. Are you listening? Yeah, immortality is true. Life being swallowed up, death being swallowed up of life is truth. But there's a way. You feed on the tree of life. That's the beholding. You look and look. You look and look. That's what happens to the butterfly. You look and look until the ugly caterpillar becomes the beautiful butterfly. Oh, meaning there's beauty on your inside. That's what they're saying. Christ is your sufficiency. You pay attention. Pay the attention. Pay the attention. It's worth it. Jesus is priority. You cannot be too busy. Carry the world along. Carry Jesus along. Surround yourself. Sleeping or awake. Let the word of God be close by. Are you listening to me? Let the word of God. Listen, there are results that human wisdom cannot produce. Never. Never. You hear Pastor Peter saying it. If you have not settled your content and you are so concerned about the packaging and this thing, you will sweat. You will sweat. You understand? You neglect prayer. You are thinking about how to package. They say how you look is how you be addressed. You are joking. You will sweat. Those things are good after you have paid attention to the call. Do you understand? You have paid attention to the call. When stress comes, you will swear the makeup away. No, let me tell you something. You think because you are a fine girl, you can keep a man? You are joking. In this generation, when they come after your husband, what are you going to do? No, I'm serious. This thing is practical. When you don't have the capacity, that's where you'll be going to see Babalawo as a Christian. They say, let's take you somewhere. And then you destroy your entire life. Build capacity. Build capacity. Take this thing seriously. Because when the storms of life comes, what you are made up of is what will cause you to stand. Are you listening? Build capacity. When challenges hit your house, there's a response you will give. The Bible said that Satan is going about like a roaring lion. He's not. He's like. And then number two, he said he's seeking whom he may devour. Meaning not everybody is devourable. Not everybody is devourable. Not every destiny is devourable. He knocks at some doors and spiritual AK-47 comes out. Are you listening? Is somebody here this morning? Develop capacity. Invest in the word of God. Carry Jesus along. Not everybody. He said he's seeking whom he may devour. We have to listen. Life is no joke. You have to be serious. Challenges are coming. I'm telling you now. Before you now begin to think, does God really answer prayer? All those stupid things that Christians say. Listen, when you soak a foam with a liquid and you apply pressure, the liquid that you soak it with will come out. Meaning when you soak your spirit with the word, when the pressures of life come, the challenges of life, the word will come out. And when the word comes out, don't forget. He said, my word is like a hammer. Shabakoto sepa. He talked about the word as a two-edged sword. Two-edged sword, hammer, fire. Are you listening? Pay attention to the word. We are too young to get distracted from the call. To get distracted from the call. You don't go to a church because the place is colorful. Do they have the right word to feed your spirit? Are you listening to me? Feed your spirit, man. Sit down. Feed your spirit, man. That's what lasts. Don't be a profane person. Because in the day of battle, it will show. When I see some people jittering in pressure, it's a revelation of the state of their spirit. What others are carrying in one hand is crumbling some people. Carrying one hand. Are you listening to me? No, that's why. That's why I was talking to someone recently, a month ago. What are you going to do about your home? And I say, well, what she do? And blah, 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 blah. It's a revelation of our spiritual life. Sorry. And they already tried to go to divorce court. You're a young girl, married for 4 years. What are you doing in divorce court? Why? You don't know what to do with the challenge. When we're praying in church, you were dodging. Let me tell you. There's something about the spirit of faith. When you give attention to cook yourself spiritually and things come, it will rise up from within. You are not pretending, no. There's something that will come up from your inside. It will come out from the inside. You tell yourself, I cannot take this. That I cannot take this, there has to be a change. As always say, okay, we are praying, no. God will help us. You are weak in faith. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what we're talking about. I'll never forget the story of a man of God. The wife went to deliver and died in the labor. They say bled and died. They told him he was not around. He was not in the hospital. When he was coming from the reception, he said, I sent her here to deliver, not to die. In fact, some nurses were going on at the power as he was entering the labor ward. Are you listening? You can guess what happened. She came back to life. Came back to life. Listen, when you don't have something in your spirit, you can't talk like that. You can't. I don't know why I'm saying this again to the ladies. Hope you know there are people warming up to take your husband. Eyes. In this 21st century, say I'm a fine girl, you are wasting time. There must be something you have that's beyond the fine face. There must be an authority of the spirit. There are people waiting to deceive your children. Are you aware? There must be an authority of the Spirit. And that authority comes from a voice of faith. Hiya. That is only connected to what you have been feeding your spirit with. The voice of faith. It will rise. You look at your son in the eye and say, you cannot go away. It's not possible. Not in this house. And you are not pretending. There is something on the inside. Are you listening? You look at your husband and your wife, say, this marriage cannot fail. And you are not pretending. There's something you know. There's something you know. There's something you know. Brothers and sisters, it's time to get serious with the things that matter. Am I talking this morning? With the things that matter. Have you ever seen that the university certificate made anybody successful? Have you ever seen? People pay too much attention to nonsense. Too much attention to nonsense. I could not come for Tuesday service because of lecture. Which stupid lecture? Go and ask my classmate. There are times I would disappear from school. Long time. I have a destiny to prepare for. And then you tell me not to go to fellowship because of lectures. You are joking. I will not be found there. Because I used to ask them there. I said, how many people has this MBBS made successful? How many? You have to know something more. Are you listening? You have to know something more. You have to know something more. Hey! Makabola kapa. You have to know something more. Life is spiritual. Life is serious. Rise to your feet. Let's pray. Shakapato kepataya. Shepeto kapa. Pray in the spirit. Say, Lord, an unquenchable appetite for your word, for your presence. Can you pray that prayer? If you are here, you are not even hungry for the spiritual things. Talk to God. Say, Lord, give me hunger for you. Talk to him. Shagabola kombre soshtepa. Hinkapola pongeskota. Salagombre toshkepa la toshkepa. Shapatola pondekepaya. Shapola koshkepa. Inkapola doshkepa. Can we just pray for 3 minutes? Can you pray seriously for 3 minutes? Lord, a hunger for your word. A hunger.
Lord, an unquenchable hunger. Unquenchable passion. Unquenchable fire.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Ah, there's such a fire here. Such a fire. Lift your hands. The power of God is going to come upon certain people. See, we are not, I'm an educated person. Trust me. But I tell you the truth, I know what works. If we are Christians, let's be Christians.
Yes, sir.
Lift your hands up. Shibakoto keprekeposa. Shepatoko prendo kapatosa. Sabalaton shkepalapa. There's going to be a baptism of fire in this second service. I didn't plan to do this, but the Lord is rekindling. The Lord is refiring. Likopos. Shepato. Lift your hands. And say, Lord, touch me with the fire of your presence. Touch me with a coal of fire from your throne. Touch my prayer life. Touch my hunger for spiritual peace. Shabakatosh. Sabila tobalabaya.
Sabakadesa.
Inkapola posa. Sagapala tongskapa. Shabatola polapa. Likoposh. Likoposh. Hinga balarabosa. Hinda larabosa. Listen, to live only from your head is to be a joker. You want to live only from your head? You'll be in trouble. You can't even do that. You have to live from your spirit. You have to live from your spirit. Hallelujah. I know I'm not wasting your time. You have to live from your spirit. Shabakato soshotokepa. We said the template of the end time revival is fire on the mountains. Meaning God wants to carry his fire to the various mountains of human endeavor. But how fireful are we? We have left serious prayer and Bible study to those who are supposed to preach. I told you that's a lie from the pit of hell. We are all in ministry. You heard me say that all the time. The day you got born again, you were called into ministry. You may not have heard the call. But there was a call waiting for you. God does not speak in time. He speaks in eternity. So there was a call. The day you heard it was the day you heard it. But the call was waiting from the day you were born. Had you listened to me? Meaning there's something on your head to fulfill. Their lives and destinies connected to you. As insignificant as you may think you are not insignificant. You have a place in God's total agenda. You do. You do. But listen, it's not English you will speak. Makepotosa. There has to be a substance to offer. He may have been called to the fashion world, to the aviation industry, to the medical world, to political and government, whatever your calling. The substance you will offer there has to be eternal for Jesus to be glorified there. If not, they will press you into their mood. You can't just carry a Christian name. You must carry a fire. You may be a banker, but when you arrive, everybody in that place knows who to go to when they are in trouble. That's God's will. You may be a teacher in school, a student in a class, but people should know who they can run to when they are in trouble. Because there's something you carry, is evident. Even the blind can see it. Even the blind can see. I want you to consecrate yourself to this truth that you are hearing. Consecrate yourself again to the ministry of the word. Consecrate yourself again to prayer. Consecrate yourself again to fellowship. Consecrate yourself again to service, serving God. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. I'm looking forward to total immersion, seriously. All this limitation of time, where you just continue, even though your body is tired, you continue. Whoever, let me tell you, if your thinking is like this, listen to me, everyone, look up at me. If you think like this, anytime I'm tired, I stop. You are ready to be average. You will fail or be average. Life does not work like that. Oh. You rest when you are done. You don't rest when you are tired. That's for the bosses. What I say now is thinking for the bosses. You don't rest when you are tired. You rest when you are done. Oh, you don't finish church service when you are tired. That's why we have, thank God, Sunday service, we know people are different, faces come, so we'll make it 2 hours maximum. Okay, we spent 2 hours, 15 minutes already. Okay, just extra 15 minutes. But that, like I said, meetings like that, total immersion, plan for it. The second day of Salah, on either Wednesday or Thursday, we'll get the dates across to you. Amen. 10 hours, prepare, clear your schedule. It's public holiday. And check if your life will be the same. What is an investment? When you plant seed, it will grow and produce fruits. True or false?
We believe the word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.